we commend the Vision magazine to you. It is a little late, and not our fault. Kind of got lost somewhere in the province. We thank Mrs. Strong for bringing them, Mr. Strong bringing them Wednesday night. So take your copy of the Vision magazine and take that and read it, please. We're turning today in the Word of God to Malachi chapter 1. The book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 1, and we'll read just a number of the verses at the commencement of the chapter. So it's Malachi and the chapter number 1. Let's hear God's word. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoureth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honour? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. We'll end there just at the end of verse 8. Let's unite briefly in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bless thee that thou art our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We pray, O God, that this day that thy name will be hallowed. Grant, dear God, thy blessing upon the preaching of thy word. Come near, speak to our hearts, challenge, instruct, guide us, we pray. Help us to live lives to the praise of thy name. Help us now, Lord, fill me with thy spirit. And every hearer who is redeemed by blood, O God, may they hear God's voice. And those who are not saved, may this be a day of salvation for them. We offer prayer in Christ's precious name. Amen and amen. When on holiday I found that my systematic Bible readings took me to this final book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, having read the short four chapters of this little prophecy, there was a question found in the opening chapter that continued to go around my head and has continued to do so since my return home. And so at the beginning of this week, I decided to go back into the study again and to prepare a different message, having already prepared for this day, planning to preach on and continuing our series on the Holy Spirit. But this continuation of this particular question, I took as direction from God. God would have me to preach a different message for today. Now the question in question was asked by none other than God himself. It was asked to a people who had sadly lapsed in their walk with God. Such a deplorable state is a state into which all, preacher included, can fall into at some time within their Christian lives. That state, whenever our first love for God is gone, when things, even legitimate things, can take priority over the things of God, where our walk with God is not as close and as dear as it was at one stage in our lives. I'm sure you all know, as I have known, the kind of state that I'm referring to. Now, it's not the case that these people in Malachi's day had so backslidden that they had found themselves back in the world and really doing those things that they once did prior to them coming to know God. Because if you read through the little prophecy and the four chapters of this book, you'll see that these people were still involved in religious activity. They were still bringing offerings to God. They were still gathering for public worship on the Sabbath day. they had a veneer of religion. But as far as the heart was concerned, well, that had long departed from the Lord. See, everything connected with God had now become simply duty. The devotion from which all our service and all our worship should arise from really had dissipated. And such was the state that these people had degenerated into a state that was simply not pleasing to the Lord. Well, God saw beyond the charade. God saw beyond the pretense. And so confronted his people with two questions through the prophet Malachi, found in the verse number 6 of Malachi chapter 1. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? It was the first of those two questions that God time and time again brought to my attention over the past number of weeks. It is a question we want to consider in the closing moments of this meeting. I believe that God would ask all here today, all individuals, all families, this church, this denomination, even so far as this nation, he would ask the question, where is mine honor? Where is mine honor? Now, there are a number of things and considerations that we want to think and that arise from this very pertinent question posed by God in Malachi chapter 1 and the verse 6. The fact that God asked this question, where is mine honor, firstly indicates to me that God's honor is something that is important to him. God's honor is something that is important to him. Why else would he ask the question about his honor? In asking this question, where is mine honor? He is demonstrating, he is communicating to his readership that God's honor was something that deeply concerned him. It is a matter that he places the highest value upon. Where is mine honor? Where is mine honor? Now, according to the Thesaurus, the word honor has the following corresponding words. It can be translated esteem or respect. It speaks about the paying of homage to or the assign of value to. The word in our English Bible translates to mean to prize, to fix a valuation upon, or to revere. And so showing honor to another simply means treating that person respectfully because we value that individual highly. To honor God means to give him the regard, to give him the reverence, the respect, the admiration, the adoration, the awe, the praise, the submission, the obedience that is due to him and to him alone. When God speaks of his honor, he speaks of his glory. He speaks of the reverence that is due to him because of who he is. He's speaking about the esteem in which he is to be held by his creation. The honor that belongs to God is something that the Bible writers and authors, they speak often of. The honor that is due to God. The psalmist speaks of the Lord being clothed with honor in Psalm 104 and the verse number 1. Let me read the verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Honor is one of the vestments that clothes the one who is seated on high. God is arrayed and adorned in honor. When David the psalmist penned the psalm that marked the coming of the Ark of the Covenant into the city of David, he wrote about God's honor in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, the verses 25 to 27. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Psalm 145, David again speaks of the honor of God. Verses 3 to 5, Psalm 145, verses 3 to 5. We read the words, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works." One of the themes of heaven's praise is the honor of God. I could turn you to Revelation 4 verse 11 or Revelation 7 verse 12 or Revelation 19 verse 1 or verse 7 to prove that point. But let me turn you to one portion in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 5. Let's read there, Revelation chapter 5. Want to read this to cement and fix into your mind that God's honor forms part of heaven's praise. John the Apostle, as he looks into heaven, he writes about what he sees there. Revelation 5, verse 11. "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and forever.'" Heaven's glorified saints, they sing about God's honor. There is a word in the scriptures that is similar or akin to this word honor. It is the word glory. In actual fact, the words honor and glory are interchangeable terms. They are really the same Hebrew word. And so at times when we read the word glory, we could read in actual fact the word honor as well. They are interchangeable terms. And there is one portion of God's word that brings us to our thoughts and to our attention, and it's found in Isaiah chapter number 42 in the verse number 8. God, Jehovah, is the speaker on this occasion, and he makes the following exclusive claim in Isaiah chapter 42 in the verse number 8. "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." My glory, mine honor, it's the very same word. My honor will I not give to another. Such value does he place upon his honor, upon his glory, that God will not give it to any angel, to any man, to any other living being, but he himself must have glory and honor. It is his glory. It is exclusively his. Thomas Watson said, "God's glory or honor is that which is most dear to him. It is the apple of his eye. All his riches lie there. His glory, his honor is the most orient pearl of his crown, which he will not part with. God's honor is of more worth than heaven, more worth than the salvation of all men's souls. It is better," he said, "than that kingdoms be demolished, better men and angels be annihilated, than God lose any part of his glory or of his honor." The honor of God is highly esteemed by God. It is important to God. Now, the questions that arise from the importance God places on his honor are these: what importance do you place on the honor of God? What importance do we place on God's honor within our lives? Does it concern us that God is not honored? That He is not honored by ourselves, by how we live, by how we act? That He is dishonored in our homes, by our loved ones, in our nation, within His church, by those who are in authority over us? Are we grieved that God's day and God's name and God's law are dishonored? Or do we just simply shrug the shoulders in hopeless resignation? You see, brethren and sisters, that which concerns God should concern us. And His honor is something that concerns Him dearly. And so it should be our desire as we rise every morning that we find ourselves asking ourselves the question, how can I honor God today? It should be the prayer of every saint of God, I do not want to dishonor Thee in what I say, where I go, what I do today. But rather the honor of God, the glory of God, should be that which motivates us to live holy, separate, God-glorifying lives in all things that we do. Because folks, the simple truth is this, that if you're not honoring God, the fact is that you are dishonoring Him. If you're not honoring Him, you are dishonoring Him. God's honor is something that is important to God. In the second place, the fact that God asked this question, where is mine honor, indicates to me that God's honor, though important to God, was deemed to be unimportant to His people. God's honor, though important to God, was deemed to be unimportant to His people. I make that stark conclusion on the basis that the question infers that these people in Malachi's day were not honoring the Lord. They were not honoring God. And that's evidenced as we read through the prophecy. We find many a thing that they were doing that did not please the Lord, did not honor the Lord. And so we find these people, because they have not honored the Lord asks them this question, where is mine honor? Where is it? It doesn't seem to be important to you as a people. But I'm asking you today, where is mine honor? Where is it? John Gill, he made that same conclusion. When he thought about this question, where is mine honor? He said, this question suggests that God had not the honor given to Him which belonged to Him. Now that is an amazing thing to think upon. That's an amazing thing to consider today. That God's people in the day of Malachi did not find it important to honor the Lord. But what is more amazing is that we as God's people today, seem to think that it's unimportant when it comes to honoring the Lord in our own individual lives, within the life of the church, Christ's blood-bought church, within our nation, within our places of employment. It's an amazing thing to think that God's people seem to place little importance upon the honor of God. Honoring the Lord, respecting and reverencing the Lord, obeying the Lord. There seems to be a spirit among God's believing people that really the matter of honoring and glorifying God in my life is non-important. And so God asks the question, where is mine honor? Where is it? Where is it today? Where is God's honor? It is an astounding thing to think that those who profess to know Christ deem it to be unimportant, the honor of God. Such is an astounding fact when we think of what God has done for us. God has done so much for us. Think of what he has done since the moment we came to Christ. Think of what he has done for us, first of all, in grace. And what has he done for us in grace? Well, he in grace has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He in grace set his electing love upon us. He in grace satisfied the law. He in grace paid the penalty of our sin to the full. He in grace has redeemed us by his blood, the blood of his own dear Son. He in grace has called us to a knowledge of himself by the Spirit of God. He in grace has justified us. He in grace has reconciled us to God. He in grace has numbered us among his children, adopted us into his family. He in grace has laid up for us in glory an inheritance and a crown that fadeth not away. Think of all that God has done for you in grace. And yet, where is his honor? Where is his honor? And then think of all that he's done for you in providence. Day by day, moment by moment, supplying your every need. Daily bread provided. Yes, preserving our lives on a weekly basis. Yes, God in providence has protected us, elevated us. He's guided us. He's distinguished us from millions of our fellow creatures. God in providence. And yet, where is mine honor? Think of what he has done for us in his mercy. Because in mercy he has patiently borne with us. In mercy he has corrected us. In mercy he has chastened us. In mercy, thank God, he has restored us when we have wandered from him. In mercy he has saw fit to use us in some way within his service. And yet with all that, he would ask, where is mine honor? We fail to honor him. How amazing. Now the flesh within us would want us to not deny that to be the case. We would pray before God all the things that we have done for him, the sacrifices that we have made in our lives to serve him, the activities of prayer, Bible reading that we engage in on a daily basis. And yet let me say that the outward honoring of God in these things, important and as essential as they are for spiritual growth, are a poor substitute to the inward honoring of God. They are a poor substitute for the inward honoring of God, an honor that he esteems. Sadly, too often we are like the people of Isaiah's day. He spoke of them in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Jesus Christ, he takes that very reference in the Old Testament and he uses it to liken the religious hypocrites of his day. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, he said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Doubtless there was an outward honoring of the Lord by these people, both in Isaiah and in Christ's day. There was the observance of ceremonial activities. There was the worship of God. There was the keeping of the law. Oh, they made sure that they kept the law. They tithed their mint and their cumin and all the serious and all the different mints or the different herbs. Oh, there was the keeping of the law stringently. And yet, though there was an outward honoring of God, their heart was far from him. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you today. There's an outward honoring of the Lord. You've come to God's house. You've sang his praise, you've read the Bible, you're listening to God's precious word, but the heart is far from God. God sees beyond the pretense, the acting, because God looks not on the outward appearance, but upon the heart. Upon the heart. These were a people. Yes, they kept the outward, they honored the Lord outwardly. But it didn't matter because all the time inwardly there was a dishonoring of God in the heart, a heart that was far from him. And you know what the Savior did? The Savior called out that type of living for what it was: hypocritical. Hypocrites! Hypocrites! He looks into the heart. And he sees a heart that dishonors the Lord, has no place for the Lord, and he says, that is hypocritical living. That's no better than the Pharisees. And that's no better than the religious of my day. I wonder, could it be that God would look into this life? God would look into your life today. And God would look into your home. And he would see it nothing less than a home of a hypocrite and the life of a hypocrite. Yes, we honor the Lord with our lips. We say the right things to the right people. But all the time our lives are dishonoring to the Lord. Let me say and remind you, if you need it reminding, God's honor is either enhanced or maligned by how his people live. I believe that was the argument that the prophet Nathan brought to David when he confronted David about his sin with Bathsheba. 2 Samuel 2 verse 14 records the words of the prophet Nathan to David: "Howbeit, because by this deed, this sin, thou hast given great occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." David's sin, his adultery, gave opportunity for the enemies of God to blaspheme. By his actions, by his life, God's name was dishonored. His cause was damaged. His fame was tarnished by the sin of his child. And let me say to every child of God, what we do, where we go, what we say, in actual fact, every single aspect of our living in this world has a bearing on whether our lives bring honor or dishonor to the name and the cause of Jesus Christ. How you will live this week will either honor the Lord or dishonor him. Will it be that by the end of this week, in the will of God, God having surveyed your life and my life, will he have to ask us as he asked the people of Malachi's day, where is mine honor? Where has it been? Where has it been? We need to strive by God's grace to do all things with a single eye to the glory and to the honor of God. And so that means, young person, as you go back to school this week, as you live out your faith, you live a life that honors the Lord. And sir, madam, as you go to work or in your home, do all things to the honor of God. Make it your desire, this week I want to live my life, a life that will honor God, a life that will glorify God. For whatever ye do, either as we eat or drink, let us all do it all to the glory of God. The third matter, quickly, it is the final. It is a matter that again arises from this question, where is mine honor? The third matter being, God desires his people to honor him. How simple the thoughts are. You see, this thought, where is mine honor? This question, where is my honor, suggests to me that God was simply looking for this honor from his people. Brethren and sisters, God deserves, and God desires, and God demands that we honor him. However, the follow-up question is, how? How do I honor him? How can I live a life that will honor the Lord? Because that's surely what every genuine Christian would want to do. Obviously, to honor the Lord, to honor the one who redeemed me, who rescued me from sin and from hell. That ought to be the very desire of every child of God. As I read through the Word, I find that those that honored God was pleased to richly reward them. A.W. Pink remarked, God's dealing with us in this life are largely determined by the matter and measure in which we esteem or we honor and magnify him. But not only that, God promises to honor those who honor him. Those familiar words that we find there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. The problem in Eli's day was that he honored his sons above the Lord. And God called him out for it. He spoke to Eli and said, you have honored your sons, but you have not honored me. And maybe it would be today that you have placed the honor that is due alone to God to some other thing or some other one. And we find ourselves like Eli, God bringing us into the very dock and charging us with a dishonoring of God. How can I honor the Lord? Well, let me confine our thoughts to Scripture, as you would expect. There are a number of ways in which we can honor the Lord. Very quickly, firstly, we can honor the Lord in our praising. In our praising. Psalm 50, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. The word glorifieth means brings honor to. Whoso offereth praise brings honor to me. Worship that proceeds obviously from a redeemed heart, in which there is that spirit of true thankfulness and adoration and love, is worship that is honoring to God. Mankind was created to worship. It's part of the hard wiring, if I could use that modern day term, of mankind. We are created to worship. All men across the face of this earth are worshiping something, someone. Not the true God, obviously, but at least something, a greater deity, a higher power, something that is outside of themselves. Mankind is created to worship. Sadly, many worship and praise the gods and the idols of this world. Some praise and honor themselves, but the Christian, the one who's been saved by grace, directs their worship, their praise to the God who saves them, and that honors the Lord. Wonder, was the Lord honored in this house today? Whenever we took the hymn book, and we started to sing praise to God, was he honored by your worship, by my worship? I wonder, do we see praise as Thomas Watson saw it? Let me say, he said, praise is a setting forth of God's honor, a lifting up of his name, a displaying of the trophy of his goodness, a proclaiming his excellency, a spreading of his renown, a breaking open the box of ointment, whereby the sweet savour and perfume of God's name is set abroad into the world. Is that how you thought about what your praise would do today? It only stands to sense that if we are to honour the Lord in our praise, then those psalms and those hymns and spiritual songs that we employ in our praise ought to be full of God. Lyrics that extol his being, words that exalt his works, themes that laud his perfections and his attributes. Child of God, do you want to honor the Lord? Then stop your complaining. Stop your grumbling. Stop your murmuring. And start praising. Start praising your God. Because whoso offereth praise honoreth me or glorifieth me. God's word informs us that we can honor the Lord in our giving. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be full of plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, as you read through Malachi's prophecy, you'll see issues regarding this matter of giving. It wasn't that God's people had stopped giving, but rather that they were giving inferior sacrifices to God. What they gave did not live up to the quality or to the quantity that God expected of them. As with regard to the quality, we see that in the chapter number 1. You see, as they came to offer sacrifices to God, the people looked into their herds and they maybe saw a cow a little bit lame. Maybe a cow that just was a little sickly. Maybe a sheep that was blind. And they thought, that'll do God. That'll do God. I'll keep the pedigree. I'll keep those ones that are classified well by whoever classifies. I'm away from farming, or my father anyway, for quite some time. But we'll keep the best and we'll give God the worst. God discerned it. God knew all about it. Chapter 13. You brought that which was torn and lame and sick. And so he asked them the question, should I accept this off your hand? Should I accept this off your hand? Verse number 8, and ye offer the blind for the sacrifice, is it not evil? And ye offer the lame and the sick, is it now evil? Offer it to your governor and see what he thinks of it. See what your boss thinks of it. You go in tomorrow and you just sit in your place of work with your feet up, your arms folded, and do absolutely nothing. What do you think your employer is going to think about your work ethic and what you offer to him as an employee, to him or her as your employer? What's he going to think? I'll tell you, it'll not be long before you get your P45. But when it comes to God's work, there's too many people sitting with their feet up and their arms folded, doing nothing for God. And you think that's acceptable? Where is my honor? Where is it, child of God? Where is it? It's not the case that we give to God that which resembled what they gave to God. That which is second best, and that's putting it in a good light. Instead of anything will do, our desire should be only the best will do. Only the best will do for my Lord. Only the best will do for my Lord. Only my best efforts, my best years, my best praise, my best prayers, my best preaching, my best service is deserving of the one who gave me his best. He gave me his best. Have you given God your best? We enter a new season. Will you give God your best? Sunday school teacher, will you give God your best? Young person, will you give God your best? Elder committee man, will you give God your best? Church member, friend, children's meeting worker, will you give God your best? He gave his best. What about the quantity? Well, these people robbed from God. Chapter 3 tells us, will a man rob from God? Verse 8, ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed you? You see, folks, it had gotten to such a stage among God's people that they were unaware of how far they'd got away from God. In actual fact, they started to justify themselves. Wherein have we robbed thee? But he said, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. The tithe is the tenth. And that along with the offerings had been withheld from God. And thus God exhorts in verse 10, bring in the tithes. Bring in the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there may not be room enough to receive it. Too many people rob God from what is rightfully his. My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it into a den of thieves. So let me ask you this very pointed question. Did you make this house of prayer a den of thieves today when the offering plate passed your pew? Did you make it a den of thieves? Did you rob from God what was rightfully his? Charles Bridge put it, we should see it as a privilege to lay aside a portion of substance with a sacred stamp on it, bearing the inscription, this is for God. This is God's. I believe that every person, saved and unsaved, should be a tither by conviction. It is the Lord's. Dare you rob from him? Maybe that's why things aren't going well financially for you. Because you have robbed from God. Oh, that we might honor him in giving our substance to him. Finally, quickly, yes, we honor the Lord in our praising. We honor the Lord in our giving. We honor the Lord in our observing. Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call a Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob my father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken him. He's speaking here about the keeping of the Sabbath day, the observing of the Sabbath day, the setting aside of worldly employments, the setting aside of worldly enjoyments, and secular employments, and investing our time in the worship of God. And if we do that, note the words, we honor him. We honor him. And when we honor his day, as we are encouraged to do here, God keeps his promise. He'll make that day a delight to our soul. I wonder, will you and I be found honoring his day? It's his day. Remember that. It's not my day. It's not the church's day. It's his day. The Sabbath day. The Lord's day. Let me ask you, do you think it's an honor to God to use his day for your own pleasure? Do you think it's an honor to God to use it for your own employment? Do you think God is honored by your absenteeism when his word is preached? Especially when we are commanded not to forsake our assembling ourselves together, as a manner of some is. Is God honored? I'm not answering the question. I put it out to you. To answer it honestly before God, is God honored by your seat empty? By your seat empty at a gospel service, a family worship service, the prayer meeting, is God honored? There are family needs. You can't just leave children at home. There are those who care for others. But setting those things aside, and I know that you would, taking anything else, do you think God is honored? I'm only putting out the question. Do you think he's honored by you dining out on the Lord's day? Do you think he's honored by your television viewing? Do you think he's honored by your games console playing? Do you think that he's honored by your social media interaction? Do you believe that he's honored by you shopping? By your leisure activities? Do you think God is honored by you jetting off on holidays on his day? Do you think God is honored by you cruising around the car parks and the towns of this, his day? Do you think he's honored? I leave it with you. Because everyone shall give an account of himself to God. Is he honored? Is he honored? I believe that if we want to honor the Lord, then we'll honor his day. We'll honor his day. I wonder, as God looks at our praising, would he ask of us, where is mine honor? As he looks at our giving, would he say, where is mine honor? As he looks at our observing his day, the keeping of his commandments, would he say, where is my honor? Where is it? You see, I have set my honor upon you as my child. He has. How honored we are to be his child. But where is my honor? You see, Malachi, he argues from the lesser to the greater. He said, yes, you give honor to an earthly father. But where's mine honor? And I'm your heavenly father. Oh, that each of us would place the highest value on God's honor. And let us, by God's grace, honor him. I tell you, you will not miss out. And you will not lack. And you will not find yourself in want in any area, whether that be with respect to finance, whether that be with respect to relationship, whether that be with respect to spiritual growth. There will be no lack if you simply honor the Lord. And so let the cry go up from our hearts today. Lord, help me to live a life that honors thee. Lest he would ask of us, where is mine honor? May God be pleased to help us to put right where things need to be put right. And let us obey the Lord in all of these matters for Christ's sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's just still ourselves before the Lord. Let's allow the Lord to speak into our hearts today. Let's take this as a word from the Lord. Our loving Father, we want to honor thee. We believe our obedience to thee will honor thee. Our submission to thy will, to thy precepts. We believe that all of these things will honor the Lord. Lord, surely, dear God, it ought to be the desire of every genuine Christian to honor the Lord, to give him his rightful place. Having bestowed such honor upon us, having done so much for us, surely, O God, the outworking ought to be that we just honor him. Help me to honor thee as a believer, as a minister, as a father, as a husband. O God, grant, dear God, every here today to to resolve by the grace of God and by the help of the Holy Spirit to honor the Lord. May he not ask of us this evening, where is mine honor? May not ask throughout the week, as we go about our daily business, where is mine honor? Where is it? But may, as he looks into our lives, may he say, there's a child of God that's honoring me. There's a child of God that wants to obey me and is living a life that is bringing glory to my name. O God, save me from doing that which would dishonor thee. And oh, that thy name might be magnified in this community by a congregation of people that simply want to honor the Lord. Help us, we pray, and speak on to our hearts. And may this question repeat within our minds and our hearts time and time again. May it be fixed there by the Spirit. Where is mine honor? As we go about and we just go to make decisions within our lives, help us to do all to your honor and glory. For we pray these our prayers in and through the Savior's precious name. Amen and amen.